Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter, titled Narada's Instruction on Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 16. Vikasano Saihati Vedikam Vibho. Vikasano Saihati Vedikam Vibho. Anantaparasya nivrittita sukham. Anantaparasya nivrittita sukham. Pravartamanasya gunai manatmana. Pravartamanasya gunai Tato bhavan darsaya chetitam vibho. Vikasano sahati veditam vibho. Ananta parasya nivrittita sukham. Pravartamanasya gunar anatmanas. Tato bhavan darsaya chetitam vibho. Vikashana. Very expert. Asya. Of him. Arhati. Deserves. Veditum. To understand. Vibho. Of the Lord. Ananta parasya. Of the unlimited. Nivritata. Retired from sukham, material happiness, pravarta manasya, those who are attached to gunai by the material qualities, anatmana, devoid of knowledge in spiritual value, tata, therefore, bhavan, your goodness, darsaya, show today, chestitam, activities, vibho of the Lord. Translation. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. Only a very expert personality, retired from the activities of material happiness, deserves to understand this knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, those who do not so well situated due to material attachment should be shown the ways of transcendental realization by your goodness through description of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. So we repeat the translation. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. Only a very expert personality, retired from the activities of material happiness, deserves to understand this knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, those who are not so well situated due to material attachment should be shown the ways of transcendental realization by your goodness through descriptions of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. So, purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Theological science is a difficult subject, especially when it deals with the transcendental nature of God. It is not a subject matter to be understood by persons who are too much attracted to material activities. Only the very expert who have almost retired from materialistic activities by culture or spiritual knowledge can be admitted to the study of this great science. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated, out of many hundreds and thousands of men, only one person deserves to enter into transcendental realization. And out of many thousands of such transcendentally realized persons, only a few can understand the theological science, specifically dealing with God as a person. Srila Vyasadeva is therefore advised by Narada to describe the science of God directly by relating his transcendental activities. Vyasadeva himself, a personality expert in this science, and is unattached to material enjoyment. Therefore, he is the right person to describe it, and Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, is the right person to receive. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost theological science, and therefore it can react on the layman as medicinal doses. Because it contains the transcendental activities of the Lord, there is no difference between the Lord and the literature. The literature is factual literary incarnation of the Lord. So the layman can hear the narration of the activities of the Lord. Thereby, they are able to associate with the Lord and thus gradually become purified from material diseases. The expert devotee can also discover novel ways and means to convert the non-devotees in terms of particular time and circumstance. Devotional service is a dynamic activity, and the expert devotees can find out competent means to inject it into the dull brains of the materialistic population. Such transcendental activities of the devotees for the service of the Lord can bring a new order of life to the foolish society of materialistic men. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his subsequent followers exhibited expert dexterity in this connection. By following the same method, one can bring the materialistic men of this age of quarrel into order for peaceful life and transcendental realization. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tadati Svapadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, out of thousands of people, right, one may endeavor to know about Krishna, and out of that, one can hardly know about Krishna, right? Now, Srila Prabhupada has actually repeated the statement of the Lord. As we know, Srila Prabhupada does not say anything whimsically, you know. Whatever Krishna says, his previous acharya says, Srila Prabhupada is repeating. Now, where did Krishna say that? In Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, verse number 3, where Krishna says, Manusyanam Sahasreso, in that verse, Krishna says, out of many thousands and thousands of men, right, only a few, one can endeavor to know about Krishna. And out of that many, only one hardly knows me in truth, Krishna is explaining. So how difficult is this process? Right? Now, in the purport of that verse, Srila Prabhupada is saying, you know, to quite contrary to what we are thinking, Srila Prabhupada is saying that the path of bhakti is not easy. The so-called path of bhakti, practiced by non-devotees or by non-authoritative scriptures may be easy, Srila Prabhupada is saying. But if one follows the rules and regulations of bhakti, then Srila Prabhupada says it's not easy. Right? But We see in our day-to-day life that practicing of bhakti is easy, you know. So we will see, and as we discuss, we know, you know, whether bhakti is easy or hard, you know. We'll discuss that. Now, in these Srimad Bhagavatam verses, Narada Muni's continues, right, with these verses. He continues to chastise Vyasadeva, his disciple, for his discrepancy in not bringing out an exclusive work for the glorification of the Lord. He has written a lot of Puranas, right? So, actually Narada Muni is chastising him to bring out an exclusive work for the Lord. That is why Vyasadeva wrote this Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, in this particular verse, Narada Muni is minimizing the value of materialistic life and increasing the value of spiritual life. Right? If you look at this verse, you know, that's what it's obvious. Now, why do we have to work very hard for material existence, right? Which is coming to us based on our karma anyway, you know, just as we experience distress, right? No one wants distress, right? No one wants it, but it comes. So in the same way, whether you want it or not, happiness will come to you. So why do we have to make separate endeavor to get happiness, right? So the emphasis here is that intelligent endeavor should be given for eternal life, not for the world of matter, because this world is world of matter, right? So emphasis should be given, endeavor should be given for eternal life, spiritual. That's what he's bringing out. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Nectar of Devotion that devotional service, right, that ignores authorized Vedic scriptures like Upanishad, Narada, Pancharatra, right, etc., they are a real disturbance to the society. Right? Now we see a lot of literature, right? See, but Rupa Goswami is pointing out that. And also, in the Padma Purana, it is said, no one can understand Krishna as he is by his blunt material senses. With the material senses, you cannot understand the Lord. Only the Lord can Lord can reveal himself to his devotees. By the practice of devotional service, starting with tongue. So he says that very clearly. Padma Purana it says. So, our prime duty is to perform devotional service, right? For, simply, you know, I would say, for the two reasons, okay? The first reason is, material senses, right, will become spiritualized by serving Krishna just as an iron rod which is kept in fire over some time acquires the same property as iron rod, right? Just as the blacksmith, you know, goldsmith you have seen, right? He keeps the iron rod, you know? And after some time, the iron rod gets the same quality as the fire. So, by constantly engaging in the Lord's service, our body will also get spiritualized. That's the first point, you know, so that we have to practice Krishna consciousness. And the second thing is, we all are born in ignorance, right? Without any knowledge. Now, if someone thinks that they are fully knowledgeable, right, an expert, then why did they go to school? It's a fact, right? We all are born in ignorance. We go to school, we go to kinder, prep, grade 1, grade 2, etc., etc., BSc, MSc, PhD, and all that, you know, we go. Why? Because we are born in ignorance, you know. This world is full of ignorance, which means this is a world of darkness. So the knowledge about Krishna, or any literature about Krishna, is like a sun which gives light to this world. So that is why we should make an attempt, the reason I am saying, that is why we should make an attempt to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam to cultivate the spiritual knowledge which brings light to our life. Right? Now, if we fail to cultivate this knowledge, then we are as good as animals. Right? So, we will cultivate this knowledge. Correct? Okay. Now, in the material world, right, we see that everyone wants to increase their wealth, okay? Or increase their position, or increase their standard somehow or other, right? A poor person wants to become rich, a rich person wants to become richer, a richer person wants to become richest. This is what we are seeing. We are seeing, you know. You need not have to explain this fact. Wherever we go, you know, a person joins as a IT consultant and then he becomes project team leader, project manager. What is that all, you know? It's going up the ladder. For what? For material money, you know, and hence leading to material enjoyment. For devotees, it's different anyway. But in the normal scenario, it's like that. So, the society status, in the society status, the money is very important, right? Rich, poor, you can easily designate, you know. This is a rich guy, come on, he's my friend. Poor guy, I don't want him. You know, this happens. Now, considering about rich and poor, I would like to illustrate a story. Do anyone know about the story of a poor father and a rich son? Or a rich son and a poor father? No one knows, right? Okay. So our story, you know, starts off with a father and son. Both are running a very big business. Business tycoon, okay? The father owns a business and obviously the son has taken over the business, okay? They're running a big business. Now, whenever the father and the son used to go overseas or interstate for travel, you know, for business purposes, it was noticed that the father stays in a very modest and a very cheap hotel. But on the contrary, the son stays in a very rich hotel, 5-star hotel. Agarbatti is very strong. So, the father stays in a modest hotel and the son stays in a very rich hotel. Now the accountant, when the bill comes to the accountant, you know, like in our case, Bhaktasar Prabhu, so in this case, you know, someone person, you know, when the bill comes to the accountant, you know, they'll be scrutinizingly saying, why so much, why do you spend that, you know? Of course, how is Bhaktasar? He's very, you know, he's quite tight with the money, isn't it? Right? So that's what I heard. So this accountant is also like Bhaktasar, but he's not a devotee. Quite, you know, strong with the money, you know. He said, doesn't matter. What is this? Expenses, you know. The father and son went to a place, but the father's bill is okay, you know, tolerable, but the son's bill are, you know, too much, you know. Why is that? So he thought, let me go and talk to my boss, you know, because the father is a boss and he's a, you know, elderly personality, so he's very respectful and all that. And the son says, come on, you know, I don't know, that's okay. Just what's the problem? Do the job. Like that. So he thought, okay, let me go and talk to the father, you know. So he asked, you know, sir, I would like to know, both of you go to the same place and all that, but you, your bill, you know, when I say your name, see your name, your bill is okay, but your son's bill too much because he's staying in a 5-star, what's the reason, you know? Then, the father gave the reply, you know, the owner, he said, I was brought up in a very poor and modest family, right? My father is poor, so I was brought in that culture, so wherever I go, I make sure that I stay in a modest hotel, and say, you know, that's how brought up I was, but my son, he has got a rich father. So wherever he goes, he has got money to spend. So that's the reason I always stay in a, you know, a cheap or a modest hotel, whereas my son who is very rich, he will stay in a big hotel. So everything dwells or revolves around the brought up, you know, how you are brought up. Right? So that is why Prahlad Maharaj says, devotional service, right, it should be started at a very young age. So it's cultivated, right, so it grows. Otherwise, you know, if you have to practice devotion service at the age of, you know, 50, it's very difficult. My Guru Maharaj used to say this, you know, this proverb, he said, you can't teach new tricks to old dogs. The Guru Maharaj says, can you teach new tricks to old dogs? Can you? No, the dog will refuse. So when the dog is young, they used to show it new tricks and make him learn. That's all. Okay. Now, regardless of whatever the position is, whether we are rich or poor, we have seen this in this category, right? It will be, you know, all our endeavor will be defeated. Because over a period of time, either it will be taken by force or we have to give it up. Because it's a temporary world. So that is how it works, you know. So regardless of our position, one has to give up this material opulences, so-called opulences. But Bhagavad Gita gives the knowledge about immortal life. So what do we mean by immortal life? Right? Immortal life means There is no more birth, no more old age, no more death, no more disease. So through Bhagavad Gita, we know the immortality, right? By practicing devotion service, wherein this place, which is full of disturbances, right, full of material miseries, can be transported to a place where there is no misery, Vaikuntha. So Krishna consciousness has got a potency to transfer a place where there is full of anxiety to a place where there is no anxiety. And there is no place, you know, or no university in this world which teaches the science of self-realization of Krishna consciousness except our Krishna consciousness. So we have to take this opportunity to come here, learn with the association of devotees and progress gradually. Now, why do we see sometimes that people, you know, don't take up Krishna consciousness readily, you know, even though it's available? People refuse, right? We have seen that many cases, people refuse to take up. This is because of the fact that Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 3.37, he says to Arjuna, it is the lust, it's a lust only, Arjuna, which later changes into anger, right? Which is the sinful enemy of this material world. So what's happening is, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that we have naturally developed a love for the Lord, okay, as a soul, you know, because the property of the soul will offer loving service to the Lord. That is a property of the soul. But what happens, the soul, when it falls down, right, when it comes in contact with the modes of material nature, the love for the Lord is converted into lust for ourselves by the mode of passion. So thanks to the mode of passion, which has, you know, converted us. So we have to revert back, actually. You know. So the original love is converted into lust. So Srila Prabhupada says that. And so what happens, this material world is a facility given by the Lord for the conditioned soul to fulfill the lustful propensities so that they will be satisfied. And what happens, as we all know, the desires, you know, the material desires will never be satisfied. It is like a fire, you know. You keep on putting fuel to the fire, it keeps on burning, right? It never stops. So the lustful propensities of the living entities, conditioned living entities, it never stops. It keeps on growing. But at one stage, you know, when the living entity is fortunate enough to understand that he's suffering, and when he stops that propensity, then it's easier for him to know the science of self-realization. That is why Prabhupada always says that atoto brahma jignasa, right? We have to inquire what's happening, you know, who am I, what is the spiritual life, because this comes because a man will be fed up, you know. He keeps on enjoying and all that, he tries different, you know, whatever may be, you know, with regard to smoke or drinking or something, he tries different things and he gets frustrated. So over a period of time he says, fine, and I'm suffering basically, you know, so I want to find an end to that. So in that way, he can find out who he is. That's another remote way. The easiest way is association of the devotees, as Srila Prabhupada says. So the remote way is to find out, okay, I'm suffering. Okay, what is, you know, what I have to do, you know, and then come back to Krishna consciousness. Because in the material world, one will be baffled. One will be defeated, you know, because one cannot enjoy, you know. It's a temporary, and the moment you enjoy, distress will follow. So what can you enjoy, you know? So one will be baffled. So once he knows the real position, then he can take up Krishna consciousness. Now, even in this kind of, you know, the stages of God realization, one has to be quite careful, because as we know, there are three stages of God realization, right? Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Now, Srila Prabhupada makes a comment here, very interesting comment. He says, the highest knowledge one can get here by his own effort is Brahman realization. You know, he can get on its own. By his own endeavor, he can get it. Right? But for the Paramatma and Bhagavan, one should have the knowledge of the Lord. And especially for Bhagavan, one has to use the senses in the Lord's service. Otherwise, no way. No way they can understand Krishna. Right? The blunt material senses, as said in Padma Purana. So one has to offer the senses to the Lord to understand or to get bhakti. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms to Sanatana Goswami that whether you practice Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, one has to the degree one mixes bhakti, then that process will be successful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, you know. So if there is no bhakti, then the process will never be successful. To the degree one mixes bhakti, then the process. That's why Srila Prabhupada gives us exclusively the bhakti yoga, which is just a complete whole package for Krishna consciousness, right? In which, you know, we can experience a lot. So the whole package is given us. So, as we know, in this age of Kali, the easiest way, you know, is to practice and to chant Hare Krishna mantra, right? But we have heard many times in the lecture that Krishna is absolute. So Krishna's name and Krishna both are the same, right? Isn't it? We have heard. But there is a difference. Who is saying this? Rupa Goswami is saying. Right? Rupa Goswami is saying there is a difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. He's saying that. Because what he's saying is, if you do, he's bringing out the fact that if you do devotion service to the Lord, to the personality of Godhead, there are chances that you can do offense. But in the case of Krishna's name, it has got an extended potency or the quality of mercy which will extend to us even though if you are offensive. So, how much can we have to chant? How much have to give respect for chanting? Or how much do we have to adhere to the process of chanting? See? Even though we are offensive, the special quality of mercy covers us and brings us up. That's an extended potency, quality of chanting. So that is why, how kind, you know. See, look at Srila Prabhupada's steps, you know, and his introduction, right? So he gives lot of emphasis for chanting, right? Prabhupada, because this is a fact. And once, obviously, you know, once you come to Krishna, chant, associate with the devotees, then you know, then you develop, you know, the service to the Lord, because our process runs on two tracks, right? Bhagavat Mark and Pancharatri Mark. Pancharatmar. So that you offer service, you know, personal service to the Lord as well as chant also. So thus, sadhana bhakti means, we are saying, engaging all the senses in the Lord's activities, right? Now, when we fully enter into this process through initiation, we get a different body. So, for the people who have taken initiation, right, it is said that the body is different, you know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that to Sanatana Goswami. He's saying, when you accept initiation, right, and when you do the process of devotional service, you get a body that is known as Sadhana Dega. So the analogy is given by previous acharyas about the green mango and the ripe mango. The green mango and ripe, both are mangoes, right? So the Sadhana Bhakti is compared to a green mango, which is not ripe. The ripe mango is the elevated stage, you know, Krishna Prem stage. So the green mango will become a ripe mango over a period of time. It's just a matter of time. So that will come. So Sanatana Goswami is saying that. So if we simply chant, take prasadam and avoid offenses, then we can gradually grow up. So I would like to tell one of the verse when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from his guru Ishwarapuri in Gaya. What happened? Ishwarapuri gave him the mantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He took the Hare Krishna mantra, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord himself, and then he was in ecstatic form, you know. He was crying, he was laughing, he was rolling on the ground, he was showing ecstatic symptoms, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what has happened to me? Something wrong, I just look indifferent to the world, you know, the external platform, not internal platform. Then he went back to Ishwarapuri and said, what kind of mantra have you given me? You know, I've become indifferent, you know. This is too much for me, you know. What is that, you know? Then Ishwarapuri refers a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. Not the full verse. It starts with Evam Ratha. In that, he's saying, Ishwarapuri's guru is saying, if you take a vow, then that becomes the faith. The vow itself becomes a faith. That is why, again, you know, Srila Prabhupada, through our process of initiation, you know, we are taking vow, you know, that we follow the four regulative principles, we chant. Now that vow, because obviously seen by the Lord, that becomes a faith. So real faith in one sense is, and the real sense is, that if I take up this one thing, everything else I'll get through this. So that is a real faith. So you take this vow very seriously, and that is why we say devotees is a chant. They take it seriously and they gradually go. Right? Now, to expand this product, to expand this this theme, right? Srila Prabhupada has given a very good point, analogy he's talking about. He's saying, initially, you know, devotees come to the temple, you know, based on Agyata Sukriti. Okay? They meet someone. So after they come, they won't take up chanting immediately. Right? So what happened? Srila Prabhupada very clearly says this, right? There is a spiritual bank account created in the heart. All of us, right? We can remember, right, how we started, and then we can say, you know, how we are progressing, okay? So there is a bank balance created in the heart. Okay? Now every time you see a devotee, you work with him, or you do some service with him, knowingly or unknowingly, doesn't matter. Some contact with the devotees. Now that spiritual bank balance grows in the heart. Right? It is growing. So there it will come to a stage wherein that growth is fully, you know, matured as a capital, you know, and then faith is born. That is why we see sometimes, you know, devotees, they come, they said, okay, fine, I've decided to chant. I want this process. Whereas someone else, they said, no, I can't chant. I cannot do it. I'm going away or whatever may be, you know. I want some time. Because there is not enough faith that is accumulated in the heart. Srila Prabhupada mentions that. So once we all, to some degree, has got some faith, you know, which is born. So the increase of faith means more, you know. The more the faith comes, the more devotion services, the better devotees become. So, if one chants the holy name, he gets attracted to the Lord's name, he becomes closer to Krishna, and whatever there is abnormal in the heart, due to the three modes of material nature, right, that will be completely stopped, and he becomes indifferent to the world. Okay, that is why we say in the elevated devotees, we say ecstatic symptoms, you know, like crying, laughing and all that. Now, while some devotees show this, some other devotees may not show. Now, in the case of Srila Prabhupada, we have seen that Srila Prabhupada, you know, the pure devotee of the Lord, he just exhibited this kind of ecstatic symptoms only a few times, you know. Very few times. And one of the symptoms Srila Prabhupada exhibited was when he was singing Radha, Jai Radha Madhava in Mayapur, he was almost practically in tears, you know. So Srila Prabhupada was very much cautious about external, you know, surroundings. So very few times he exhibited, but still sometimes he could not help it. So it came out. So, you know, there's a comment that Srila Prabhupada did that. So finally, to conclude, Madhavacharya, a previous acharya, in this regard, he explains that this elevated devotees, right, they, when they exhibit, you know, the qualities, they actually show us two reasons. Two reasons they show us when they exhibit the signs. What is that? The first thing is they are steady in their devotional sadhana and they are attached to the process. Okay? So these elevated devotees, when they exhibit, you know, they exhibit two qualities. Okay? Like people who are showing ecstatic symptoms. They are, one, first thing is they will be steady in the service, or they are attached to the service. They will never give up their service. That's the first symptom. The second symptom is that whatever the words that are coming out of the mouth, it's beneficial to others. So these are the two things which Madhvacharya has said in Riga. And so we will stop here. If there's any comments, questions or corrections. See, what happens is, Prabhu, by the process of chanting, right? By the process of chanting, whatever's anarthas in the heart, right? That slowly is decreased, right? The heart basically melts down, right? You develop an attraction for the Lord, because right now the heart is very, you know, what you call very hard. You know, we are not paradukha dukhi, you know. We are not worried about other people suffering. In fact, because I can say for myself, you know, we are not, it's not soft. When you see a person in a conditioned soul suffering, immediately Srila Prabhupada cries, you know. Mayapur also, he did that, right? He saw a few children, you know, in the street begging for food because it's a hometown, right? Calcutta is hometown. He was crying, you know. He said, why is that? I do not cry. I was from India. I've seen many children cry. I'm just saying, you know, begging and all that. I don't cry. Soft, you know, it's like soft like butter. The moment, you know, you cry that, you know, because your heart melts down. Now, this kind of the symptom, you cannot find an ordinary person. Possible. But we are hard-hearted, you know. Abnormalities. So many anomalies in the heart, you know. You know, so it has to melt down. Why is that, you know? Why is it hard? Because of the three modes of material nature. Constant impact, you know. So, by constantly chanting, you know, heart melts, you become closer to Krishna. And then, you know, you develop these ecstatic symptoms. And then, you exhibit the qualities, you know. So here what he's saying is, as I mentioned Srila Prabhupada very few times he showed, so the elevated devotees, right, they exhibit the symptoms. Okay? Not only that, through this, you know, they show us two important qualities. So Madhavacharya in this regard, he says that they, such devotees exhibit two important features for us to know. What is that? They are steady. Steady means steady in the service. They attach to the service. They'll never leave the service. Look at the example of Prabhupada, you know. His goal, because Guru Maharaj said, whatever money you get, you print, okay? So his priority is book writing and book printing, okay? So you have to write a book before you print, okay? So Srila Prabhupada, in the night time, you know, as all of us know, in the night time he has to sit down and translate. Why? The book has to be completed. Because his Guru Maharaj said, print as many books as possible in as many languages as possible, right? So he has to write a book. So his constant, you know, his service or his thought is writing the books, you know, writing Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was his goal, you know. So he's steady in his service. He did not relax, you know. Okay, I've written 3 cantos, 1 year gap. I'm going on vacation. He did not do that. So he's steady in that, and then it will be beneficial to others, whatever they speak. So that's what in this regard Madhavacharya was saying. So I thought it's a point, you know, for us to know. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Kijaya. Srila Prabhupada Kijaya. Gaura Premanandi.